Good evening and welcome to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Got a Bible question? Wondering what to make of current events? Call now, toll free at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Now, open your Bibles, open your minds, and join the conversation with your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis.
Well, good evening. Welcome to another edition of Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. I'll be with you until midnight tonight, right here on AM 1220, The Word. I hope you'll be able to stick with us and even join in the conversation here this evening. We're coming down to the wire here one more weekend after this weekend, and then it's Election Day. And early voting is going on. It's heavy in most states. Many of you have probably been out to vote already. And I've talked to different people. Sometimes when people go out, they wait a while. Sometimes they just walk right in. It just all depends on where you're going and what time you get there. But if you haven't voted yet, I hope you're planning on doing so. Week from Tuesday will be the November 3rd election day. So it's coming up quick. All right, well, welcome to the program tonight. We're going to get started here this evening with the word of prayer, so let's go ahead and do that. Heavenly Father, Lord, we want to thank you so much again for the opportunity to be able to be here tonight. Father, we just pray that you would bless and just help us, Lord, to lift up and glorify Christ in all that we do, all that we talk about this evening. Help us to point people that are searching to Christ. Help us to encourage believers in their walk with you, and we just thank you for the opportunity. Bless, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, good to be with you tonight. As I said, I'm Pastor Al Davis, pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio, and we'll have more information about that coming up here a little later on in the program, but also point you to our webpage, Live with Pastor Al. That's Live with Pastor Al. And if you go there, I've been trying to slowly get things reorganized a bit on that, and you can find some of our various social media pages there. I had it temporarily across the top, and it was kind of clunky and really didn't look very good, but I do have it on the left-hand side of the page. If you go in, log on, there's some stuff at the head, but as you come into the columns there on the left, it says follow Pastor Al on social media, and we're experimenting with some, trying to see what works, trying to see what is better for certain things, but right now we've got Cloud Hub, Facebook, Gab, MeWe, Parler, Twitter, USA.life, and looks like YouTube is not on here. I got to find YouTube, get that on there. Somehow or another, that's not listed in my list there. But you can watch us on YouTube, speaking of that. And I am in the process right now, while talking, trying to get that shared over to some of our other pages. If you click on Facebook or something like that, you'll be able to click on the YouTube broadcast as well. So pray for us as we're trying to slowly kicking and screaming move into the 21st century if we can. So that's what our eventual goal is. But appreciate your prayers and thank you for listening to us. If you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, you can give us a call tonight. Our toll-free number is 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. And we'll get you on the air here. And I remind you, too, as I was talking here, that you can learn more about our church, the Richfield Bible Baptist Church. Go to our webpage there, livewithpastoral.com, and you can find links to that as well. We are going to get to our calls here shortly, but I do want to mention a couple of things before we get to our calls. I've got a topic that we're going to touch on a little bit, hopefully this evening, too, called Evangelicals for Biden. Actually, it's pro-life evangelicals for Biden, and unbelievable when you hear the kind of nonsense that they have listed there. So we might touch on that a little bit here this evening as well. But also, as I said, want to remind you about the Election coming up, the early election, then election day. And we're going to get some information here, hopefully in a few minutes, on Free Ohio Now. They're having places throughout the state, various counties. I know Summit County got a very active group, Free Ohio Now, in Summit County. Go to freeohionow.com, look for Summit County. Bear with me. We'll get the website up, they have a USA.life page as well for Free Ohio Now, Summit County, and they are going to be out in the Cuyahoga Falls area again this coming weekend. If you want to know more, just log on to freeohionow.com. That's freeohionow.com, and you can find out more information there. You might not be near Summit County, but if you go there, you can find your county, and you can find out what's going on in your neck of the woods. So, all right, let's see. And we were going to get our phone calls going here. The number again is 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. We've got Neil calling in again this week. And, Neil, welcome to the program tonight.
Hi, thanks for having me on, Pastor.
We're glad to have you.
I just wanted to talk briefly about Black Lives Matter, unborn Black Lives Matter, and all Black Lives Matter.
Well, and obviously, I mean, anybody that that believes in the sanctity of life, anybody that believes that all lives matter would have to agree with the statement that all Black Lives Matter. Unfortunately, and I think you might share something with us here, if I think I know where you're going, there are some people out there who apparently don't believe all Black Lives Matter, do they?
No, there aren't. But also there's, well, I was at the Saturday's rally just yesterday, and carrying an unborn Black Lives Matter sign, and I think the woman who had taken offense at that a week previously happened to be there, and she hastily drew up her own sign, and on another corner, her sign read All Black Lives Matter, and she stationed herself with the people who were opposed to Trump. There was someone that had expletive Trump sign, also hastily hand-drawn. But, you know, she was thinking that somehow her sign, All Black Lives Matter, was somehow countering my sign that says Unborn Black Lives Matter. And I actually don't disagree with the All Black Lives Matter.
I would think it complemented yours.
Yes, but I also think that she doesn't realize this. She's mistaken.
Well, let me ask you this. Do you think she thought that some Black Lives don't matter?
Well, I'm not exactly sure, but she's certainly not a fan of Trump, with the people who are against Trump.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard for me to figure out. I'm, you know, praying for her, and
Well, and we do need to pray for people because, you know, the truth of the matter is all lives do matter because, you know, God created all of us. The Bible says we're all of one blood. We're all descendants of Eve. The Bible says she's the mother of all living, meaning human beings. And furthermore, Christ died on the cross for all, not just for certain groups, but for everybody. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord, the Bible says, shall be saved. So it's an invitation to everybody, isn't it?
Yes, those who appreciate it and even those who don't.
Yeah, but of course the key is you have to activate it by, you know, calling upon the name of the Lord, as he says. And you don't just get it by default.
So. One of the interesting things was that of the people driving by, you know, obviously some are in favor of Trump, and you can tell that, and you can also tell the ones that aren't in favor of Trump.
Mm-hmm.
But the ones who aren't in favor of Trump, you know, they can't give you a good reason. You know, it's the expletives, and they're just very unhappy people, and they can't tell you why they don't like him.
Hmm. So, I was going to ask a question. And the website, I noticed I was just trying to log onto it for freeohionow.com. It won't go through. I've just tried a couple of browsers. Are they having problems with that? Do you know anything about that?
It's coming through here.
All right. I've tried on Chrome and I've tried on Firefox, and neither one will load it.
Well,
I don't know. But hopefully people who are listening, because I've been giving out that website, hopefully people who are listening are able to get it. As I've tried it on my computer at my house, I've tried it here at the station. I maybe my computer doesn't like it. Maybe I've got selectiveware in my computer. So, but at any rate, encourage people to pray. There's another event on this coming Saturday. Do you know what the times are on that?
It'll be from 11 a.m. till at least 2.
Mm-hmm.
But it, you know, no one's going to chase anyone away if they want to stay later.
Very good.
And no one's going to be offended if they show up earlier.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Well, that's good to hear. And anything else you wanted to share about that?
That's it, Pastor Al. I think it's important that we encourage Trump supporters to get out and vote. And even if they've already voted, the encouragement's good because they can encourage their friends who might not have voted yet to go out and vote.
Mm-hmm.
So whether they voted yet or not, encouraging them is a good thing to do.
Amen to that. Well, thank you for that. Thank you for the work that you guys are doing. I appreciate that. And I know we'll hear from you again soon. So take care then. God bless.
God bless. Bye.
All right. Thank you very much. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis, and we are going to jump to our next caller. And looking over here, who's waiting the longest? It looks like Nancy's been waiting the longest. So, Nancy, welcome to the program tonight.
Oh, thank you, Pastor Al. It was good to hear Neil speak up. He's such a good Christian political activist. And, today was my Pastor Andy's birthday.
And oh, that's
so tickled.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was.
Oh, and let me mention, some of our listeners no doubt hear his program on the air. Pastor Andy Rusnacko at Euclid Bible Baptist Temple in Euclid. And we certainly want to shout out happy birthday to him. What is the name of the program? It's here on 1220. Do you know the name of it?
Where is God's Word? Or am I thinking about?
That's Bruce Musselman's program that's still being broadcast.
Bible Stands.
The Bible Stands. That's right. I was trying to make sure I got the right one. There's a number of good programs on, and he's on several times. I encourage people, you can go to the website for the radio program, whkwradio.com, and you can see a listing of the programs. You can find the Bible Stands and see when it's at. But certainly we want to say happy birthday to Pastor Rusnacko, who's heard on the Bible Stands here several times a week on this station, and pastor of the Bible Baptist Temple there in Euclid, Ohio. So happy birthday, Pastor Rusnacko.
Yeah, well, he really got tickled when he saw your name on the birthday card, because I got a whole bunch of
We snuck that in on him, huh?
You got Pastor. How did you get his name? I said, I went to Bible study Friday. He was all. We had a real blessed evening in the morning. Our assistant pastor, Brother Jeff Budowski, preached a dynamite sermon. And then this evening, we had Brother James Valetti.
Oh, okay, yes.
So that was wonderful. And he said that there was 31 people his first Sunday. And then he said there were 13 today, you know, he just started a new church.
Right. They're starting a new church out in, is not Rocky West, River, is it? It's Westlake, right?
It's in Westlake, right on the border of Rocky River. And my good friend Carol, she's gone to both services, and she was able to bring a whole bunch of photographs, because she used to go to that church when she was a child, but it was a Free Methodist church then. So she brought a whole bunch of historical photos you know, because she was involved with it. But anyhow, my question tonight is, I know we've discussed that before, and some people think that President Trump is saved and other people don't. And I was looking at this Bible verse, 2 Corinthians 5:17.
All right. 2 Corinthians, you said?
5:17.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. I'm just getting turned over there myself. Go ahead.
Okay. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things passed away. All things are new. Now, certain things about him are new. I mean, mm-hmm. definitely, you see him in prayer with preachers around him, and he upholds biblical values, you know, being pro-life and pro-Israel
mm-hmm.
and all that. And could you just share with the listeners, I know you are of the opinion that he is born again. I do myself. Not every pastor I know believes that, but I know there are a few pastors on the radio that think that truly believe he's saved. I've seen a huge change in him from the way he was, even when he was running back in 2015. I see a huge change with him. Okay, thank you.
Well, yeah, and that's just it. When we look at somebody, and especially you got a great verse there in 2 Corinthians 5:17. He says we're a new creature, and therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And we recognize that when we get saved, we have something that takes place. And what takes place, remember, when we think about salvation, we think about what takes place at the moment of salvation, prior to putting our faith in Christ as our Savior, our spirit is dead. It's separated from Christ. It's dead, lost in sin. And that's our spirit, because remember, we're body, soul, and spirit. We're a three-part being like God. We're created in His image, and the Bible presents God as a three-part being. That we call that the Trinity, or the more biblical term really is the Godhead, because Godhead appears in the Bible, though the Trinity doesn't as a word, but the principle does. And so we're not worshiping three gods. We're worshiping three God, or one God, manifest in three persons, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And these three are equally God, but they're equally powerful in all the, you know, the nature of God, His omniscience and His omnipotence and all that. But they're also distinct from each other. The Father is distinct from the Spirit, is distinct from the Son. The Spirit is distinct from the Father, distinct from the Son. The Son is distinct from the Spirit and distinct from the Father. But all three are one. And so when we realize that, and we see a human being created in the image of God, body, soul, and spirit, we're a three-part being as well. Aspect of our being, if you want to put it that way, body, soul, and spirit is us, but each part is different. The body is distinct from the spirit, and distinct from the soul. The soul is distinct from the spirit and the body, and the spirit's distinct from the soul and the body. And so we're in that same sense a trinity or a triunity. So when we get saved, the spirit that is dead in sin becomes made alive in Christ. And at that moment, that's where we become a new creature in Christ. The old things, that old dead spirit has passed away, and that spirit that we now have is new and alive in Christ, okay? Mm-hmm. Now, what happens, though, is our body is still the same. The body never changes. If you get saved and you wear glasses, well, chances are when you pray and trust Christ as your Savior, you're still going to wear glasses, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I hear these people come on and they say, oh, when you get saved, all of your illnesses disappear as well, and yet it never happens.
Mm-hmm.
Now, can God do it if he wants to? Sure, he can if he wants to. Mm-hmm. But generally speaking, most people I've encountered that have got saved, all of their physical attributes remain the same. If you're short and you long to be tall and you get saved, you're still going to be short. If you're tall and you want to be short and you get saved, you're probably still going to be tall. If you're a little chubby and you get saved, you're probably still going to be chubby when you get saved. If you're skinny and you want to put on some weight and you get saved, you're still going to be skinny and you want to put on weight. Your body doesn't change. So now, will it change? Yeah, and God recognizes that as far as he's concerned, we're already in heaven with him in our new body, but that's because God is outside of time. All moments of time are equal to him, as this moment is to us. And so one of these days, the trumpet is going to sound. We're going to be caught up to be with the Lord in heaven. And the Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, this mortal puts on immortality. This corruptible puts on incorruption. The Bible says in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, this body is going to be changed. Now, I, for one, am looking forward to that change in this body, because this body that I have right now is where my sin nature is. See, when I got saved, my sin nature did not disappear, because it's in the flesh, and you can prove that from the scriptures, because in Romans chapter 8, Paul is writing here in Romans chapter 8, and he talks about the battle that every Christian knows and understands. And if we're honest with ourselves, we'll realize that we're our own worst enemy, because in our flesh dwells a sin nature. And it says here in Romans chapter 8, Paul says in verse 15, "For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not." So he's saying he does things that he doesn't want to do and doesn't do things that he does want to do. But what I hate, that do I. If then I do that which I would not, I consent to the law that is good. And he says this in verse 17. This is Romans, Romans 7. I said Romans 8 earlier. Romans 7, verse 17. "Now then, it is no more I that do it," notice what he says, "but sin that dwelleth in me." Now, if that wasn't clear enough, in verse 18, he says, "For I know that in me," that is, in my flesh, "dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me." See, that new spirit wants to do right. "But how to perform that which is good, I find not. For the good that I would, I do not. But the evil which I would not, that I do." Now, if I do that I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. So Paul right here says he does things that he knows he shouldn't do. He does things that he doesn't want to do, but he does it because of the sin nature that's in him, the sin that's in his flesh. And so all Christians have this until this body is changed and we're given that new incorruptible, immortal body when we go to be with the Lord in heaven. But until that time, we're stuck in a body. And Paul says, and I'm just going to drop down to the end of this chapter here, Romans 7, chapter 7, verse 24, "O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin." See, the flesh is pulled away from God towards sin, toward the world. And that's where the devil likes to attack us, is in the flesh. Well, when somebody gets saved later in life, their flesh has basically been in control all their life, right? It's strong. And so when somebody gets saved later in life, it takes a while oftentimes for them to overcome habits of the flesh that are ingrained. Now, sure, God delivers us from many things, but let's look at a habit like smoking. I knew one guy, he was saved, and he was a heavy smoker. And he kept smoking, and he came under conviction, and when he tried to give it up, his flesh didn't want to let go of the habit.
Mm-hmm.
He wanted to give up smoking. And mm-hmm. now, smoking's not going to keep you from heaven. Mm-hmm. But he decided that for his testimony, and he was being called into the ministry, that smoking was not something that he wanted to be doing. He didn't think it was a good testimony. He didn't think it would help him serve the Lord. He wanted to give it up. He knew he spent a lot of money on cigarettes. He wanted to give it up, and he would work to try and give it up, and he'd pray and ask God for victory. Now, he eventually did have victory in that area, but he said it was a battle. Because his mm-hmm. flesh did not want to let go of it. And there's other things. I've known people who've been saved for many years. I've known people who've been in the ministry who, I'm not endorsing or any way justifying it, but they tell off-color jokes and use profanity. I knew of somebody whose daughter went to Bible school and got in trouble for using profanity, and her father, who was a missionary serving on the foreign field at the time with a good, solid, independent, fundamental, King James only Bible-believing Baptist missions agency, and out of a church that believed all those things, she said, "Well, what's wrong with it? My dad uses that language all the time."
Oh, no.
So you see what I'm saying? Intemperate language does not mean they're not a Christian, but if there's no change, because he said old things are passed away, behold, all things are become new, there ought to be a change where the new spirit begins to overrule. Hey, Nancy, we're going to take a break here in about 10 seconds. Can you hold for a few minutes?
Oh, yes.
All right, because I'd like to pursue this after the break. So stay tuned. We've got another half hour to go. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis, pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. I want to invite you to visit us at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express, located midway between Akron and Cleveland at 5171 Rexville Road in Richfield, where the Ohio Turnpike, Interstate 80, and Interstate 77 cross. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express each Sunday morning for Bible study at 10 a.m., morning worship at 11 a.m., and evening worship at 6 p.m. The Bible Baptist Church also meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express each Friday night at 7 p.m. for an informal Bible study where you get to bring the questions, just like on Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Even if we don't see you at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, we want to see you in heaven. Jesus says in the Bible, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Why? Well, because the Bible says, "There is none righteous, no, not one. We are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." The Bible also says, "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. For when we were yet without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. And so the Bible says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." I like that. Whosoever, that means you. If this show's been a blessing to you, why not let us know? You can contact us by writing Pastor Al Davis, Post Office Box 452, Richfield, Ohio 44286. Our email address is pastoral@maplenoll.us. You can also visit our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. Or you can call us at 330-659-6555. We'd love to hear from you, but now let's get back to our program. Well, welcome back. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. Be with you until midnight tonight right here on AM 1220, The Word. I hope you'll be able to stick with us here this evening. And if you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, you can give us a call tonight, toll-free, 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. We'd love to hear from you tonight. Also want to remind you, you can check us out online at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. You can link to some of our social media sites there, and you can follow us on them, and also watch us on YouTube. And you can also link to our home church, the Bible Baptist Church, Richfield, Ohio, sponsor the program. And there's also a link to East Coast Pizza. And you can find East Coast Pizza at 4889 Turney Road in Garfield Heights. They're right across the street from the Garfield Heights High School. And you can call for pickup or, well, I guess it's just pickup they're doing right at the moment. You can pick up, call, order ahead, pick up pizza at 216-341-9100. That's 216-341-9100. Mention you heard about them here on Live with Pastor Al. And they are located, as I said, in Garfield Heights, right across the street from the Garfield Heights High School at 4889 Turney Road. And that is phone number 216-341-9100, and you will enjoy the pizza. We ordered some of their pizza for our Friday night Bible study this past Friday night, and I'm trying to think. We got a bunch of pizza. I got one piece. One little piece, I might add. I thought I'd get a chance to get a second piece. It was so good, it just disappeared right away. So I appreciate what they're doing out there. So, all right. Well, we were talking with Nancy before the break, and we were talking about President Trump, and we were talking about whether or not he is a born-again Christian. And there's a lot of back and forth on that. And obviously, we only God knows for sure, because God looks on the inside. God sees the heart, and God knows what took place in somebody's life. And there's a number of people, I think probably one of the most well-known people that have claimed that President Trump got saved during the campaign just over 4 years ago is James Dobson, of course, who was founder of Focus on the Family. And there's some others who have attested to that. So the question then becomes, if President Trump is saved, do we see evidence of it? And there's a lot of groups out there. For instance, there's this group called Pro-Life Evangelicals for Biden, and they think Trump's a horrible person, and no born-again Christian should vote for him because obviously Joe Biden is the much better Christian, I guess, in their mind, or is better for Christianity than Donald Trump, even though Donald Trump's track record follows the Bible. By their fruits ye shall know them, the Bible says. But before the break, we were looking at Romans chapter 7. And in Romans chapter 7, I won't read through the whole passage again, but Paul talks about the conflict that every Christian understands. If you've been a Christian for any length of time, you know that sometimes you do things that you know you shouldn't do, maybe even don't want to do, but you find yourself doing them anyway, or you don't do things that you know that you should do. And Paul says here, it's because of the sin that dwells in his flesh. And Nancy had brought up, and we'll join Nancy here in just a moment here, but Nancy had brought up 2 Corinthians 5:17 that says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And as a consequence, we know and understand that our old dead spirit, at the moment we put our faith in Christ as our Savior, at the moment of salvation, our old dead spirit is made alive in Christ. And it's certainly we are a new creature in Christ in that respect, but we consist of a body, a soul, and a spirit. So our spirit is now new in Christ, alive, and this spirit wants to do and follow the things of God. But the flesh has not been changed. the flesh still has the sin nature, and that's what Paul was talking about, the sin nature in his flesh that sometimes caused him to do things that he knew that he shouldn't do or not do things that he knew he should do. And really, quite frankly, there's probably, if Paul was to continue writing on this subject, he would say, yeah, there's a lot of things that I didn't even know that I shouldn't have done that I didn't do or that I did because of the flesh, and a lot of things that I probably should have done that I didn't realize I didn't do them because of the flesh. Because the flesh does not lust after the things of God. The flesh lusts after the things of the world. And so the world is constantly trying to pull at our flesh to pull us away from God. Well, that leaves the soul, and the soul would be that part of you, your personality, your mind, your personality, emotion, will, intellect, to that aspect of you. And with your mind, you have to make a decision. And let me go back to Romans 7 here real quick, and then we'll join up with Nancy again. He says in Romans chapter 7, starting in verse 22, he says, "For I delight in the law of God after the inward man." That's in his spirit. The spirit, remember, that longs after the things of God. And then he says this in verse 23, "But I see another law in my members." That's the flesh, the body. That's where the sin nature resides. "Warring against the law of my mind." That's his personality. That's his soul. That's his where the will is. "And bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members." And maybe a way to understand it, it seems maybe a little humorous or silly, but if anybody can remember the old cartoons where the character is tempted to do something and a cartoon or an angel version of the character appears on one shoulder and a devil version appears on the other shoulder, and the angel is saying, "Now don't do it. You know, that would not be right. That's not good. You shouldn't do it." And then the devil character on the other side is saying, "Oh no, you know you want to do it. Go ahead, do it." And which one wins out? Well, that's like the spirit saying, "You know you shouldn't do it. God doesn't want you to do that. The Bible says," and then the flesh is saying, "But you know you want to do it." Which one wins out? Somebody once said it's like having two dogs that fight. Which one wins? The one I feed the best. So if you're feeding the spirit, then you'll gradually gain victory over the flesh. And if you're feeding the flesh more than the spirit, the flesh is going to oftentimes gain victory and take you into captivity. And so now we have Donald Trump. We have people that attest that they believe that he's saved, that he's testified of being saved, and it's their words and it's his words. God knows for sure. But we have seen some differences in him. We have seen him moderate some of his statements and things like that. But he still uses intemperate language, and some of his tweets are considered rude or insulting or something, and people take offense at that.
Mm-hmm.
But the flesh is there, and certainly he's not going to church every Sunday, and he does go to prayer meetings and Bible studies there in the White mm-hmm. House with people, and he yeah. is growing, but he's a young Christian. Mm-hmm. And when we have older, more mature Christians still doing things that they ought not to do, why would we hold a young Christian up to the standard that older Christians aren't achieving? Now, I don't want to preach him into heaven if he's not saved. If he's not saved, he needs to get saved. But certainly Joe Biden and 4 years ago Hillary Clinton, neither of them gave any semblance of being a born-again Christian.
Oh, absolutely.
In both cases, the language that they use that just doesn't get covered by the media is absolutely foul. It'll peel the wallpaper off from the walls. And they have, and Joe Biden in his press conferences is challenging people. "You want me to take you out back? I'll meet you out back. You want to do push-ups? I can do more than you. What's the matter with you? You dog-faced pony soldier?" I didn't make that up. He actually called somebody that. And then during the debates, he's using insulting terms to the president of the United States, that whether or not you agree with him, to call him insulting names on the television, you know, and even if he did that to Joe, that's you don't have to do the same. So, you know, it's like the old expression, the pot calling the kettle black. You know, Joe Biden is certainly less of a Christian. And then look at other things. President Trump has become the most pro-life president we've ever seen.
Yes.
And there's Joe Biden, who says babies should be killed up until the day of birth.
Mm-hmm.
God says in Proverbs chapter 6 that he hates that. It's an abomination to him, the hands that shed innocent blood. What could be more innocent than an unborn baby? And then you get these pro-life Christian or evangelicals for Biden that come along and say, well, Trump is too intemperate. And besides, you know, if you're really pro-life, you need to be concerned that a $15 an hour minimum wage is actually more a pro-life position than whether or not you kill an unborn baby in its mother's womb. You know, it's ridiculous. You wonder, how do these people even come up with this nonsense? And they spew it out there, and people believe it. They go, oh, it makes sense to me. That's like in when Paul warned Timothy about people who are ever learning, never able to come to a knowledge of the truth, and they sneak into houses leading silly women astray, and they justify these women to get their abortions and kill their unborn child when... You know, anybody who reads the Bible would know that God is against that.
Mm-hmm.
Now, just because people may wind up in poverty later in life doesn't justify killing an unborn child. That just means we got to do better to help them out later in life.
Mm-hmm.
So the trying to make the $15 an hour minimum wage the moral equivalency of whether or not a baby is dismembered alive in the mother's womb...
Mm-hmm.
How can that be a moral equivalency?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if they're going to question President Trump's salvation, these are the people who question President Trump's salvation. They make these moral equivalencies. If they're going to question President Trump's salvation based on him using intemperate language and insulting tweets, hey, I've got every right to question their salvation on their justification of supporting somebody that believes in the live dismemberment of unborn children.
Mm-hmm.
And it might sound like a crude way of putting it, but it's a very accurate way of putting it.
Mm-hmm. Well, I don't think they're saved at all.
there ought to be evidence of salvation. And is President Trump perfect? No. And I'm not electing him on the basis of him being a perfect Christian. I am voting for him again like I did the last time. Last time I voted for him on the basis of what I hoped he would do as compared with what I was fairly sure Hillary Clinton would do, which was a great deal of evil things because she was an evil and still is an evil woman and she's done many wicked things. But Donald Trump promised to stand by Israel. He promised to support the unborn children, support Christians, and nominate originalist judges to the federal courts and justices, originalist justices to the Supreme Court. And he's fulfilled those things that he promised.
Mm-hmm.
So, hey, isn't keeping your promises the act of a Christian? I'm not saying that makes you a Christian, but I mean, and then looking at him when he stood up and moved the embassy from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem in Israel, a tremendous thing. God said he blesses those that bless Israel, curse those that curse Israel. And I believe God has blessed him in his championing of Christians' right to speak in the public marketplace, public avenue, and just so many things like that that we can point to evidences that he is doing some good things. So,
Amen. Well, you explained it really well, you know, because his spirit is new. I mean, I do believe he's born again, but he's still, his body, he still has a dead nature. So that's why he's not really
Far
from. That's why it's not far from perfect. So that just explains the three different parts of the body, and you know, there's three parts of God, God,
yeah,
and the Holy Spirit, but also body, soul, and spirit. And when your body still has the sin nature, it's still warring back and forth.
Oh, yeah.
Explains why he still has these certain traits. But like you said, we have to feed the spirit. We have to pray a lot. And
he's doing a lot of things. He doesn't have time to be in the Bible 24 hours a day, right, 7 days a week. And I got another caller we have to get to here, though, Nancy. But I do want to appreciate or thank you for bringing that that subject up. And one more thing in closing on that. Joe Biden has given zero evidence that he's a born-again Christian. In fact, he's given ample evidence that he's not a born-again Christian.
Yes. Amen.
So if you're going to elect your president based on who seems more Christ-like, mm-hmm, well, you know, that's a fool's choice, I guess, in that sense. Mm-hmm. You know, nobody's Christ-like. Not you, not me, not President Trump, not Joe Biden. Nobody.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But we try to be, and there should be evidence. And certainly President Trump shows a much more evidence than Joe Biden does.
Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you. You explained it so well. Thank you.
Well, thank you, Nancy. Appreciate that and appreciate your call tonight. So,
thank you.
All right. Take care. God bless. And we're going to get to our next caller. And before we get to the next caller, I do want to give a shout out to Maria and a happy birthday, too. We had said happy birthday to Pastor Rusnacko, and we got to say happy birthday to Maria. I happen to know it's her birthday today, too. So happy birthday, Maria. And we're going to jump to our next caller. Terry, welcome to the program.
Hello.
Hi, good evening. Sorry to keep you waiting a little bit, but we had kind of a big topic going there, and I wanted to get through that a little bit there. But how are you doing?
I'm doing well.
That's great.
But still, you know, like I deal with the flesh.
It's a constant battle, isn't it?
It's a constant battle. Like people ask me that question all the time. You know, how are you? You know, and you know how do we become? You know, we got to be honest. You know, and say, well, not, you know, I got some problems that I'm dealing with, you know, stuff like that, with the flesh, because we deal with the flesh today.
Well, and you know, that's one of the purposes of church, isn't it, to get together with fellow believers, because Paul says in Hebrews 10, verse 23, starting there, he says, let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. So as we come together, we encourage one another, we exhort one another to keep doing what God has for us to do, provoking, meaning motivating each other unto love and good works. And sometimes we need the help of others, don't we?
That's right. We need each other in the faith.
Exactly. We encourage one another in the faith and pray one for another.
I was going to say, Donald, I was going to say something that's been on my mind about mm-hmm. Donald Trump and Joe Biden. I almost said Ben Laden. the thing that I have in my mind is, you know, God's sovereign will.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes he has to dishonor, some for dishonor and some for honor. You know, he chose these type of people to fulfill his will.
Well, and God does raise up certain people. We know that. Daniel talked about that. I'm just flipping over here in Daniel chapter 2, I think it is. Let me see if I can find it real quick. In Daniel chapter 2, we see here where, let me get by here to the right page. I'm not going to find it when I'm looking quickly here, but the Bible talks about how God raises up kings and he puts down kings because he does have things that he wants to do. He has things that he wants to accomplish, and he will sometimes orchestrate events here on earth in order to accomplish those things. But at the same time, you know, because God is apart from time, he sees all aspects of time at the same time. You know, he knows who's going to come to power, and within his sovereign will, he allows us a certain amount of leeway to do things and affect how he'll do things. And certainly, We see that in Israel when they turned away from God and they took him for granted. He allowed rulers to come into being that weren't good rulers, or he allowed them to come under the control or the oppression of the Philistines or others around them. But when they turned to God,
Syrian army.
Yeah, when they turned to God, he raised up godly rulers, the judges, for instance. You can read that in the book of Judges. He raised up godly kings from time to time, and he delivered them from those. And a lot of that had to do with whether the people were turning to God or turning away from God. And I believe he still does that today. I think in 2008, the United States had turned its back on God and was turning to become very worldly. And so God just turned us over to worldly rulers. Right. And we experienced that.
If Biden gets in, this is my question, is maybe God will allow Biden to get in because of the disobedience.
Well, and if he has a reason, and because of disobedience, because, 4 years ago, I think because Christians in America cried out to God, God gave us the ruler that we had, and that's why we got President Trump. And if Christians take things for granted again, there's no guarantee that Trump will be reelected, is there?
Yes, that's right.
In fact, if we take things for granted and we don't humble ourselves and pray. Today was a national day of prayer, or a call for a national day of prayer for the United States and the election. But if we don't get on our knees and turn to God as a people, then we can't expect God to bless us. We should expect instead God to turn us over to rulers that are going to cause problems for us. And certainly that would be what a Biden presidency would do.
That's like you said, I've been studying 1 Kings and 2 Kings quite a bit, and that's what God did. Like Nebuchadnezzar, was one of the kings that he called, to teach the Israelites a lesson, Judah a lesson.
Right.
Because of their disobedience.
And if you think about it, the chastening of the Lord, when we talk about in the life of a Christian, the chastening of the Lord is not because God's mad at us, he wants to get even with us or make us pay. Instead, it's designed to turn us back to him. And I believe he does the same thing with nations. Oftentimes, the chastening of the Lord on a nation is to get the nation to turn back to him. As a people, to turn back. That's what he did to the Hebrew nation, like you said, in the Kings. He orchestrated things so that they would hopefully turn back to him. And many times they did. But at the same time, many times they didn't. What's that?
And every time they kept on going back and serving Baal and other gods.
Mm-hmm.
God had to teach him a lesson again, and over and over and over and over again.
Yeah. And so oftentimes we do get the leaders we deserve.
That's
And I know we're running out of time here, but I was going to say, remember the difference between grace and mercy. Grace is getting what you don't deserve, and mercy is not getting what you do deserve. And so we need grace and mercy in our countries, don't we?
That's right.
And we certainly need it in our lives as individuals. We need it in our families. We need it in our churches. We need it in our communities. We need God's grace and we need God's mercy, but it's not going to happen unless God's people turn back to God and cry out to him in prayer. So we keep praying. Pray for those in Canada. Pray for those here in the States. Pray for those in other countries, wherever they might be. Our responsibility as Christians is to be salt and light, right? So,
that's right. Amen.
Yeah. So, Terry, we're out of time, and I want to thank you for calling. I hope people will join us again next week, and God bless. Have a great week.
You've just listened to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. To learn more about Pastor Al Davis and Late Night Live with Pastor Al, visit our website at livewithpastoral.com.